This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Perriello joins me on the program. He is the congressman serving Virginia's 5th District of Central and Southside Virginia. How are you, sir?
I am doing all right. How about yourself?
Very good, very good. So we have a lot we want to talk about, but let's just start by getting something out of the way. Any thoughts you might have or any comments about the we are just days away now from the Republican primary. Republicans here in the 5th District will choose a candidate to run against you in the election coming up in November. Charlottesville is all abuzz with all the potential candidates, the news, running a lot of commercials, and there's a whole slew of them lining up in that primary.
Well, you know, it's probably good business for the TV stations. All those ads that they used to be running against me for various things, now they can carry a little of the load. But in all seriousness, it's an important debate. You know, we have real issues at play in our country. I think there are real divisions on the other side, meaningful ones. And it's going to be a healthy process for that to play out. Obviously, it's not for me to decide how that should turn out, but I think we've seen in primaries across the country that there are real splits on the conservative side between a more sort of true libertarian element versus social conservative element versus a fiscal responsibility element, et cetera. So, again, you know, I'll leave that to the other side to figure out, but I do think these things matter, and I hope folks are following along and seeing the debates that are happening.
The phone lines are open for you, listener, at 977-1070. It's a local call. We are live. This is where Charlottesville comes to talk with Congressman Tom Perriello. You got a question or a comment? Let's start with the Wall Street financial regulation reform. Give us the latest and your feelings, your thoughts right now on the topic.
Well, it's really a state of suspended animation at the moment. The Senate just cleared a big hurdle to move towards finishing the debate, but the big question is going to be what other amendments get in there. Two of the biggest would be the restoration of the so-called Glass-Steagall restrictions, which basically say if something's a bank, it has to be a bank, and it can't be running a gambling operation out of the back of it. It's a pretty simple division that I think kept things pretty stable from the Great Depression through just a few years ago when everything went off the rails. And the other is the question of what to do with derivatives, whether they're going to be traded on an open exchange, whether they're going to be eliminated, whether there'll be an end-user exemption. And these things may sound very technical, but they have enormous implications for whether or not we are going to prevent future meltdowns. What we had was folks basically through proprietary trading and other things able to take your hard-earned money, whether it was the value in your home or in your 401k, and just spend it on the roulette wheel at 100-to-1 leverage odds, and that put the entire economy at risk. And I think it's extremely responsible for us to try to rein that in. As you know, I voted against the version in the House because it was so full of loopholes and compromises and sellouts that I think it didn't get the job done, and at the same time didn't do enough to support our community banks, our local banks, and others that have actually been relatively responsible and solvent through this whole process. The Senate version is a much better base bill, which I don't say very often, that I think does look at some of those game changers. But the devil is definitely going to be here in the final push, and we'll see how it plays out. But this vote today means that we will have reform. The question is going to be, I think, how strong is it? Do we finally get the basic Main Street values of accountability, decency, fairness applying to Wall Street and eventually to Washington as well?
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello of Virginia's 5th District. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. If you have a question for your congressman. So just in terms of a timeline, it looks like we will see something this summer then, perhaps.
I think we will. I think they'll have Wall Street reform wrapped up here before Memorial Day. I, as you know, have spent the last 6 or 8 months really focused on a series of jobs bills that needed to be in place for this summer construction season, whether that's renovation of existing home stock and building stock, whether that's land, some roads and bridges and broadband and electric grid technology. We need to be building stuff. The summer is when we do that the most. It's where we've had over nearly 2 million job losses just in the construction sector alone, and it's something that makes us more efficient over time. We have a series of those we've gotten through the House. many of them with bipartisan support from the Chamber of Commerce and others. We need those things to move, and, you know, every week that we don't move them is a week of the summer construction season that we're missing. So, you know, my hope is that we are going to deal with the systemic risk and the, you know, the Wall Street gambling that's gone on over, in, you know, through the Senate reform, but that we'll turn from there in a speedy fashion and get these jobs bills we've been working on that are smart, pragmatic, public-private partnerships, getting lending going to small business again, a two-year freeze on capital gains taxes for small business, trying to incentivize equity investments in our community and local banks, the home construction of Homestar and Rural Star, the infrastructure investments. You know, it may not be the sexiest thing to talk about, building COI or construction, but I've probably been the leading voice up here in Washington that this is a time where, you know, America wants to be rebuilding our comparative advantage, and part of that is building. And we got a lot of small businesses back home in construction, in building, who are ready to go. And this is a good season to do it in. So that's, I think, the timeline we're looking probably the next couple weeks on Wall Street reform. And I've got an outside hope that maybe some of this job stuff can get through, too.
We're talking with Tom Perriello, the congressman from Virginia's 5th District. Let me ask you to reflect on sort of a forest for the trees here. Back up a minute and take a bigger perspective on this idea of regulation. We have, you know, a loud voice in America today that says all regulation is bad. Anything government does must be bad, and regulation of any kind is inherently bad. So occasionally we'll see these aggressive pushes from the far conservative right to deregulate. And to borrow an economics term, is there a point where you can deregulate where you get sort of diminishing marginal returns? I mean, we've seen that with Wall Street. We've seen that with the oil spill, where you just deregulate, you deregulate, and then it's like all the rules are gone. And when things collapse, then it costs us more money as a, you know, as a community, as a country, to pick up the pieces that somebody else dropped.
Well, I think what you're looking for is smart rules in place. Part of what you need for investment is predictability. No one wants to pour, you know, if you go to a country in, say, Africa, and you know for $1 million, say, you could build a plant, and then that would pay, you know, pay for itself in a year, and then for 30 years afterwards, you'd be able to make profits off of it. Well, if you don't know what the rules are going to be because there may be some coup or what have you a year later, then you don't make the investment. It's actually one of the engines of investment in capitalism is to have some level of predictability in there. And what happened was, with, you know, when you went from a basic system, you know, if you look, if you read, for example, the Big Short, the new book by Michael Lewis about the Wall Street meltdown, the guy who wrote The Blind Side and Myers Poker and other things, one thing he talks about is, you know, this idea that, you know, he talks about who predicted it. So all these smart people on Wall Street, which were the ones that actually were able to predict this crash was coming and make money off it? Well, what's interesting is that a lot of them were the ones that got back to good old-fashioned due diligence. They went out and actually researched where these loans, subprime mortgage loans, were being made, in these tranches, which ones had more from particular areas or kinds of loans. You want that to take place, because what was going on here was that the regulators, you know, the Moody's, the S&P's, et cetera, were all kind of in on this problem. You want to know that if you buy a AAA-rated bond, that it has the qualities you expect of a AAA-rated bond. Excuse me. And that's important. One of the things right now in the energy sector, one of the reasons when I talk to major investors who are investing now in energy, clean energy in China instead of the U.S., it's because they, you know, when we don't have enough rules in place in energy. They don't know if we're serious about nuclear, wind, solar, biomass, and energy efficiency. They know these other countries are serious. So some say, well, shouldn't we wait for China and India to make commitments? Well, they're making those commitments. And so investors know what they're looking at. So I think here, if you don't have basic rules in place, then people pull their money out of the situation because they don't know what they're getting into. So I think basic transparency, accountability in these situations, making sure there are not dramatic conflicts of interest, such as the double dealing that it appears that Goldman Sachs and some others did, you know, you've got to have that in order to have a good functioning, you know, capitalistic economy.
We're talking with Tom Perriello, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. The oil spill in the Gulf, is that going to influence offshore drilling off the coast of Virginia at all? Governor McDonnell has made it clear absolutely not. I think he said something to the effect that, you know, we don't stop flying if a plane crashes. And he likens the accident in the Gulf to a plane crash then. And, you know, you keep flying.
Well, it's an awfully big plane crash, I'll tell you. I have supported an offshore drilling exploration bill here in Congress, and it's got two very clear caveats. If it's environmentally safe, and if it doesn't get in the way of the Navy and the Department of Defense doing what it needs to do off of our coast. And those are caveats that even, you know, that we've agreed to on a bipartisan basis in the Virginia delegation. Well, what a bill like this does is it definitely forces us to revisit the question, what does it mean to be environmentally safe? And I think what's clear is that the corporations, for their part, have been, it appears, deeply dishonest about what risk levels exist and what their capacity for prevention and for cleanup and for containment all are, which significantly raised the upside costs on that. The Department of Defense came out in the last couple of days and has said they have real concerns about the impact of offshore drilling on naval activity and military activities in the Gulf. And I think, you know, for me, this is not an ideological debate. It's a pragmatic one. If we can do it safely, we should do it. If we can't, we should not. And I think what we see is, you know, some real evidence that has to be considered on both the environment and the defense side of that.
We're talking with Tom Perriello, the congressman from Virginia's 5th District. Can you talk a little bit about this idea that we're hearing a lot that Americans are overtaxed and the government is taxing you too much, and it's a constant drumbeat from the far right. What's the truth to that?
Well, we actually just had a report out. USA Today did a cover story on it showing that we've actually dropped Americans' tax rates to the lowest level since the 1950s. Now, nobody likes to pay taxes, but it's nice to know that in these tough economic times, we've actually made historic reductions for middle-class families and for small business in the tax area. Now, that's distinct from state and local taxes and other things, but from federal tax perspective, we're looking at overall tax rates that have dropped more than they have in about three generations. So that's important. I mean, I think people right now, particularly working class and middle class folks, are getting nickel and dimed a lot by the credit card companies and the utility bills and other things. And I think we've recognized that with, you know, an average tax cut to the middle class of over $1,500 last year, and that's real money. It may not mean a lot up on Wall Street or to a senator, but to someone back home, that's real money to help get through a tough year.
Tom Perriello is the congressman from Virginia's 5th District, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. I'm curious, before we go to the listeners, I'm curious, what do you have, like, this year? Any big project that you have cooking on the back burner that you would like to realize at some point this year?
Well, you know, for me, I think there's an intense focus on jobs. And, you know, aside from some of the headline-grabbing fights we've had, I've really spent a lot of my time just grinding out functional, pragmatic approaches that can help encourage jobs. And, you know, there aren't any silver bullets, but we know the things that we've come up with that help get more direct lending to small business, that help get capital gains tax breaks for small business, HomeStar and RuralStar that bring, you know, if you think about just something like HomeStar, right? This is with tax credits basically to the construction company or the homeowner to come in and renovate a building. Generally, it pays for itself in about a year. But it's not just the fact that we're putting people to work in construction, we're helping that small business, we're helping the consumer reduce their energy bill, all those are good. But you also realize that a lot of the things that go into that renovation, the insulation, double pane glass, the window film, are actually manufactured in the United States. So we're talking about an environmental gain, a consumer reduction cost. We're talking about the construction sector getting support that's been hardest hit. And we're talking about some of these manufacturing jobs that can happen. You know, this is not about sort of bomb-throwing slogans or other things. It's about problem-solving. And you look at something like that, you have the Chamber of Commerce on board with it, Business Roundtable across the board. But it's also frustrating because something like that starts to go through and, you know, the other side tries to attach crazy amendments about child pornography and this, that, the other thing that have nothing to do with it just to try to, you know, tee up a 30-second election year spot, and people back home hate that. You know, people are looking for jobs right now. They want to work, and we're up here playing these kind of games. So, you know, my main project for the rest of the year is really to take these things that have emerged from our conversations with local business leaders and workers, come up here, built bipartisan consensus around them. We've managed to get them through the House despite all the gains, and now we've got to get them through the Senate. So, you know, jobs, jobs, jobs is really, I think, the biggest focus. And I do also really believe that the clean energy economy can be a big part of that, and we're already seeing it happen. We're just seeing it shift overseas, and I still think Central and Southern Virginia can be the American capital, certainly the East Coast capital of the new energy economy, and I mean all across Southside. That's, you know, the biomass, the wind, the solar, the nuclear, the machinists, the efficiency technology, the battery technology. I mean, we can still out-innovate. And so the more we get away from, you know, bailing out failure, which I think has been a mistake from the beginning, and reward innovation, reward research and development, reward that kind of entrepreneurship, we will get back to growing our way out of this.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, Franklin, waiting patiently in Albemarle County. Franklin, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, thank you, Congressman, for your service. We appreciate the sacrifice you make and the time you put in. During your campaign, there was what I considered a misrepresentation regarding the fare tax when you accused your opponent of wanting to raise sales tax by 23%. I'm wondering, since that time, have you had a chance to look at the fare tax and maybe develop a different opinion of it?
Thanks for the question, Franklin. I get a lot of questions about the fare tax, and know a lot of people feel very strongly about it. I actually think it will end up raising taxes a lot more than 23%, but let me say the good things about it before I get to why I think it would be really bad for middle-class and working-class folks. The upside, of course, is simplicity. It's meant to replace the existing graduated income tax, and arguably it's more trade-adjustable on the border, though there's some disagreement about that. It's essentially a variation on the VAT tax that Volcker has proposed. The VAT tax is clearly adjustable at the border. Sales tax, which is a variation on it, probably could be. So those are the upsides. The downside is it's a huge shift in the effective tax rate from, or tax burden, from sort of the upper 10% down to the middle class and working class. And right now I just think that's not what the middle class needs. And most independent economists, I have read the book, and I know it feels strongly about the 23% level, but most independent analysis suggests it'll be closer to, you know, 35 or even 40% to truly be revenue neutral, at which point you're dealing with black market effects and other things. The other is, if you get rid of the charity deduction, that's one of the biggest drivers of contributions to our churches, to our charities, et cetera, and if you do leave that in, then you start to go one exemption at a time back in, and all of a sudden you're in a very different place. So I like the idea of comprehensive tax reform. I respect those who, you know, who stand by the fare tax, but I think the book is poorly researched. I think it's the effective impact will be to significantly raise taxes for the working middle class, and I stand by my opposition to a tax reform plan that would basically stick it to working and middle class folks.
Tom Perriello, he's the congressman from Virginia's 5th District. Congressman, always great to talk to you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.